everyone, and welcome back to BoJack HorsePod Presents Tuca and Bird Pod. Today we will be talking about season 3, episode 2 of Tuca and Birdie, The Pain Garden. I'm of course Kirsten McInnes, joined as always by my lovely co-host Lindsay Wilson. Lindsay, how are you?
Doing great. This is a great episode. Very excited to talk about it with you.
Me as well. I watched this episode with Josh, so I will also be able to cue up some of his thoughts throughout the episode.
Please, yes, I'd love to hear his thoughts.
It was great. It was honestly such a good episode. Before we get into the episode, do you want to talk about your life or your feelings or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess for the listeners, it will only have been 1 week, but you and I haven't talked in weeks, so we just had a like hour-long gab before the pod. Which was great.
We did what we needed to do. And this is why we're releasing all the episodes like once they're recorded, because we don't want to leave people hanging the way we've left each other hanging.
That's right. Yeah. No, I have just been sitting here working on school shit. Kirsten went to Mexico. All yes. Very exciting.
Went to Mexico. It was great. This morning we decorated a little bit for Christmas. It's not like fully decorated, but a pretty good start considering I haven't had like a space large enough to decorate in years and years. So
yeah, we have not properly decorated ever. We always end up spending Christmas with parents or something, and so we're always just like, whatever, we won't decorate. But this year it kind of feels like we should have decorated the house a little bit.
I mean, it's not too late to do like a little bit of decor. It doesn't even need to be a Christmas tree. Even just like, what if you got a wreath?
That's exactly what Hazel said. Hazel's exact words. You should get a wreath for your door if you're not getting a tree. So you too, same page. Well,
I think you should get a wreath regardless, but certainly if you're not going to have a tree, you should get a wreath. They even have like super cute, like minimalist wreaths now where it's like mostly like a metal ring. And then there's just like a little like sprout of greenery on it, which I feel like could maybe be your vibe.
Maybe. A lot of trees around here. It feels like it should be tree centric, but who knows?
You know what you could get also? That's like really cute. You can get these like big red bows that you like hang in your window.
Yes.
And that's like a cute kind of easy little decor thing.
Mm-hmm. Can you get some of those little like window candles, little lights?
Yes. Do you have a fireplace in your house? I can't remember.
Yes.
You should get a big garland that goes across the mantle.
Yes, that's a good idea.
And then you can hang like Christmas balls on it if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I think it could be more just like winter aesthetic. So we could still enjoy it when we get back after Christmas.
100%. 100%. Good. I just think it's just sad to be like, oh, well, I don't need to do anything because I'm going out of town. Like, you're not going out of town yet.
That's true. We do have a couple more weeks.
It's great because we're talking about Christmas and like, who knows when this is going to come out? Like, will Christmas be relevant? I don't know.
Honestly, like the last episode, we might have been like, it's almost Halloween.
If there's one thing we do on this podcast is we really ground it in the time when we record it, such as telling you all what time it is right now.
Exactly what time it is right now.
What time is it?
Thanks, Brian Scally, for leading us in. It is currently Sunday, November 19th, 2023, 12:20 p.m. in the Pacific time zone, 3:20 p.m. in New York, 4:20 p.m. for Lindsay Blaze, 8:20 p.m. in London, and 4:20 a.m. on Monday, November 20th. And that's what time it is right now.
Apparently Zoom doesn't recognize the peace sign.
Wow.
Nothing. Useless.
For the listeners, since podcasts are famously an audio medium, Lindsay and one of her other co-hosts discovered that there's a new setting in Zoom where you can make it recognize your hand gestures. So like, if you give a thumbs up for, I don't know, a minute and a half, it'll say, do the little like thumbs up emoji reaction on your screen.
Yes, it is a very long time. Minute.
Like, you have to hold it there for a while before it even registers, and then you have to watch like the whole circle fill up, so it's a lot. But that's okay. I don't know if Zoom like feels a lot of motivation to be better.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not 2020 anymore.
Exactly. So Tuca and Birdie, season 3, episode 2, The Pain Garden. Tuca is forced to confront a mysterious chronic health issue. Birdie accidentally takes a liking to Tuca's bow. What did you think of this episode, Lindsay?
Great episode. I remember, so I initially watched it back in like, I don't know, June, something like that. And then just rewatched it a couple weeks ago when I was going through all of season 3. And this one still really stands out to me. I think they do some really cool stuff with the animation, especially around titular pain garden. Love getting to meet Figgy properly. I think that works really well. Yeah, I think it's really well done. This one, I think, was a standout for me. What about you?
I agree. Can I ask a grammar question first?
Please.
Would it be a titular pain garden or would it be eponymous pain garden?
I don't know.
Because it is named the pain garden.
Yeah. And is it like, does it have to be the name of, I don't know.
Like, does it have to be the name of a person to be eponymous?
That's what I wondered. When is it eponymous versus titular?
See, I just assumed you would know instantly and be like, you're an idiot. Of course it's titular.
This is unhelpful. Titular is a more general term in that it's generally defined as relating to a title, whereas eponymous is more narrow and specifically means that the thing in question lent its name to the title. So I think it's definitely eponymous, but I don't know when you can.
It seems like it's like the rectangle thing where like all squares are rectangles, but not all rectangles are squares. It seems like anything eponymous could also be called titular with no problem. But some things can only be called titular, not eponymous.
Yes. All eponymouses are titular, but not all titulars are eponymous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at us. We're so smart. This is first and foremost an educational podcast.
Always. Always.
Always. That's my favorite joke. I say it on every podcast I do. Like, it's not just here. Like, we'll be talking about people, like, spitting beer into each other's mouths on Love Island. I'll be like, yeah, this is an educational podcast.
First and foremost. Yes.
But yeah, I thought this episode was really great. I know maybe this is one of those things where it's like, oh, well, Tuca and Birdie is a women's show, blah, 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 because it's talking about like menstrual pain or whatever. And it's like, I've watched a few episodes of Tuca and Birdie with my boyfriend, and he definitely had laughed the most in this one than he did at like most other episodes. So I think if people can just like get over it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I find it super refreshing to see a show that's like, let's talk about like endometriosis or whatever this is, some sort of like serious pain. Like, how often are we seeing that portrayed, and especially in adult animation? Like, I don't feel like we ever get that portrayed.
It's even like in sex ed or in like our experiences, nobody really talks to you about how much a period is supposed to hurt, what's right. normal, what a normal range is. Like, at the start of the episode, Josh was like, oh, like, how bad on a scale of 1 to 10 would you say like your like cramps are? And I was like, I have no concept of what a 1 out of 10 right. cramp is, or what a 10 out of 10 cramp is. So like, I have no clue. And one of my favorite things is watching, like, you know, those like period cramp simulator things.
Yeah, right.
And like, people will like put it on the boyfriend, and yeah. the boyfriend will be whatever. But like, there's this one company, and they're called, oh, I want to get the name right because it's a really good company, and they post a lot of really good information about like endometriosis and period pain. And I can't find it right now. Dang it. But they'll do ones where they will have like a heterosexual couple, and both of them have the period pain simulator on to be like, oh, like, let's find where your period pain is at. Right. And let's find like where your like boyfriend, husband, whatever can like tolerate.
Or, yeah.
And it lives in my brain rent free. I saw this maybe 2 years ago, because they set this up at the Calgary Stampede as well, and they post a lot to TikTok. And they had set up this couple, and they asked the woman, they're like, what do you think your period pain is on a scale of 1 to 10? And she said, 1, like, it's not that bad. And then when they got to the end, she was on the 10 out of 10 thing.
Oh my God.
Not even like flinching at all, and was like, this isn't that bad. Like, I'm seeming that her period pain is worse than a 10 out of 10.
Right.
And she thought it was a 1 out of 10 because we don't talk about how much pain people typically experience. We Right. don't talk about the fact that period pain actually isn't normal, like, at all. Like, having any pain is not, quote, right. Like, it Right. means that there's something going on
Yeah.
to various degrees. Obviously, there's, like, much worse situations and much less worse situations. And when you, if you try to like ever talk to a doctor about anything, they'll try to be like, oh, it's just your period, and like totally right. minimize it. And so to have an episode of the show that is so validating in the pain that Tuca is in, while also reflecting how the medical system just does not take this sort of pain seriously whatsoever, though things have obviously improved over time. It just feels so good to see that represented. I think everyone should have to watch like something like this. If it's not Tuca and Birdie, like something like this should be required for everybody.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's exactly what you're saying. Like, I feel like, and we get it from Tallulah right at the beginning where she's going to say like, yeah, this is just how it is for people. And so I don't think that you're encouraged to be like, wait, but is it worse for me than anyone else? It's like, oh, you just assume it's terrible for everyone, so you don't ask any questions. And so there's simultaneously this thing where you're told like, it's supposed to be horrible. And then when you go to the doctor, they're like, yeah, whatever. It's like just your period. It's nothing. So it's like simultaneously minimized. And also you're told to expect that it's going to be horrible. So,
And there's like a much wider range of side effects that people can experience as well that I feel like goes unknown. Like, I didn't find out until COVID started that there's a thing called the period flu, which is where you get
learning
like
about
cold.
This with you.
Yeah, you get cold and flu symptoms like during your period. Mm-hmm. And I only realized it because every fucking month during COVID, I'd be like, oh my God, I have COVID. I'm going to die. And it was my period every month, every single month. And I was like, oh, no wonder I have felt sick my whole adult life.
I recently listened to an audiobook by Jessie Klein, who does the voice of Jessie on Big Mouth, and she makes a very funny comment where she's like talking about basically like childbirth and how disgusting the aftermath was, but she was like, I feel like this relates, where she was like, I feel like we are not told what to expect with our bodies in any way. She's like, and yet in sex ed I learned at least twice that men have such vivid dreams that they literally come in their sleep.
Yeah, well, we have to normalize that.
She's like, and I God learned that forbid, twice, but no one told me about childbirth.
And even still on that, why do we not learn that that also happens to women?
Right.
Huh? Why does that matter? Why does that matter? In the fifth grade, my sex ed teacher was like, oh, semen is like Gatorade for sperm. I don't really know what she meant by that. And I don't really understand still what that specific analogy is supposed to mean. But God forbid, the way will never leave my brain. Because
yeah,
really
choosing not to perceive it any further.
Put that right in it. Like, huh?
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
Yeah, so sex ed is good, and honestly, fuck all these people trying to take sex ed out of schools.
Honest to God.
But yes, okay, into the episode.
Yes.
So it does start up, as you said, with that flashback of Tuca, like, basically getting, like, her first period at her auntie Tallulah's house, and her auntie's just like, yeah, take some pills, like, this is life. And then we get more of a montage of Tuca, like, in high school, and the teacher thinks she's faking because she didn't study for a test, or she hears two people complaining about their periods, and it's like, oh, yeah, and, like, it's so bad that you just throw up, and then you can't stop throwing up, and, like, isn't it the worst? And they're like, oh, do you need a tampon? And she's like, that's not big enough. Like,
yes, one of my favorite parts of this montage, obviously no one can relate to her, but I love when the teacher is like, you just want to get out of the test, and she's like, I swear I was gonna cheat, like, this is real.
I didn't even clock that.
I was gonna cheat, I swear, please can I go to the nurse.
Yeah, like, she's not even like trying to go to the I mean, I guess people do like try to go to the nurse to get out of things in school at different times, but I also just think, like, my God, who cares? Even if they're faking it, like, get them out of there. Like,
yeah. Something's going on here.
Like, people will go to way further lengths than just saying, oh, I have period cramps if they want to get out of something. And obviously, there was something going on there. I don't know what it was, but, like, that's not right.
Yes, perhaps something to interrogate with the counselor. One of the funny things about Tuca being on, like, she's on her boat tour thing, and her period hits, and she's just, like, throwing up off the side of the boat because everything's so terrible. And she's so good at her job that people are still, like, still a pretty good tour.
Yeah, I like genuinely, what could she have even? She just puked off the side of the boat the whole time, and everyone's like, wow, what? Like, Tuca's so electric that people will watch her vomit for hours and still give her a 5-star Yelp review. Wild. So, we do get our first like fully formed moment between Tuca and Figgy in this episode as well. Which is really great. He like wants to take her away on a trip to Horseland, which is
Horseville.
Sorry. I had switched to the IMDb so that we could talk about who voices Figgy.
True. I didn't even look into it.
Which, there's no one listed for.
That's weird.
Okay. It looks like Figgy is voiced by Matthew Rhys Evans, a Welsh actor. He's from Brothers and Sisters. I'm trying to find him on IMDb. Okay, there we go. I found him on IMDb. We can go into it. I do recognize his face. What have we seen him in?
I like that someone actually has filled in the like Figgy description on the wiki, because I feel like there was nothing from season 3 whatsoever.
Yeah, it's hard to find the show, right? So it's also hard to get it. Oh yeah, and he's listed as being in Tuca and Birdie as Figgy on his page, but just not under this episode, I guess. I don't know. There's like an alarming lack of information. Oh, he was in Cocaine Bear, which was a very funny movie, just for the record. I genuinely think I know this man from Cocaine Bear. He's done some other voice acting. He was a voice in one episode of BoJack Horseman. So like, we've already been through this once before. And we didn't remember his name, so...
Sure, he was someone important.
Yeah, it's fine. He was on an episode of SEAL Team.
Okay.
Wait, no. He was a voice in a cartoon called SEAL Team, like spelled like a seal. It's a movie? It's a movie about seals. I've never heard of this in my life. I have to stop.
Figgy says that Tuca is the first non-plant person that he's ever dated. Well, that's something. It's like, your body is so interesting and so much goes in and comes out of it and very little of it is oxygen.
Yes. And she's like looking at like the knot on his back and is like, is that a booty hole? Like, they're just like very playful energy.
His booty is pristine.
He really wants to take her to Horseville, which is, she's always wanted to go. Like, she has just like a fantasy about Horseville, which is basically that she's going to find a horse that has like the same head as her. And she'll like not make out, but like bump the insides of beaks with this horse. Yeah. Like, that's what she thinks Horseville is.
And she's so excited about it. She's like, let's go this weekend. And then she's like, oh my God, never mind. No, I'm going to have my period this weekend. We can't go.
Yeah, he asks like, oh, will this weekend work? And she like imagines like calendar, and then today and tomorrow have like a red skull on it. Mm-hmm. And she basically starts actually turning into a werewolf as she runs out of the room and leaves, and it's like, sorry, I gotta pay my apartment.
Yes, and he's just like, wow, she's fun.
Yeah, he's just along for the ride, honestly. Yeah. But he seems really sweet, really enjoying Figgy so far, though. Pretty big HR violation for them to be together.
Yes, definitely. Seems like they've just like moved past that completely.
Yeah, they just had that as how they met, and that's like, nope, now they're dating, deal with it. Which, like, I guess a lot of people's relationships in their like late 20s and early 30s, they just are dating, and then it doesn't really matter how it started. They're together now, and you can have your opinions on it if you want.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And Figgy's going to say like, oh, I was just trying to be impulsive like you. And you can tell that Tuca's a little bit like, sorry. But then she's like, no, I'm going to go paint my apartment.
Like, oh, she's so fun and impulsive. She has to paint her apartment.
Yeah, true.
She goes home and Birdie offers to like touch her and make sympathetic noises.
Because she's just like lying in bed, and we get this, the first like animation thing that we were talking about before, where she just is covered in like photorealistic soil and flowers and stuff, and it's like covered her up almost like a grave, and she's like, oh, I can't move, Birdie. And then Birdie's like, yeah, I can just like make sympathetic noises. And yeah, And then it's a very funny visual where Birdie's like running her hands over Tuca, and Tuca's like, no, get out of here before I suck you down quickly. And she's just like sadly batting at her, like, no.
Yeah. And Birdie's like, you have to go to a doctor. Like, yes. No. Don't you have health insurance now with your new job? And she does. So she pulls out like the health insurance card and is like, yeah, she has coverage at this one clinic. And Birdie's like, well, if you let me make an appointment, I'll let you play with the glue on the back of the card. And Tuca's like, okay, and then starts playing with it. She goes to eat it. And Birdie's like, don't eat it. She's like, I have health insurance. I can eat the glue if I want to.
Yes. She sort of comes around when she realizes that like it's holding her back from getting to go to Horseville. She's like, that'd be so beautiful, Birdie. Yeah. She also says at one point that she hates doctors because they just want to sell her urine because piss is currency to them.
Yeah, and she's got some, we already knew that Tuca had weird doctor stuff, so it's not shocking that she would have more. And interestingly enough, like, when she had the issue before, it was also related to, like, her reproductive system. So it's almost like we had a little, a sign that there was maybe concerns, but.
Yeah, the egg.
It was the egg that she ate. So disgusting. And so they go to the hospital. It's a bee hospital.
Yes.
All the doctors are bees, and the main kind of joke with the bees is that the queen is dead, and so every bee doctor thinks that they are the queen bee, so they don't talk to each other anymore, which I guess is just like the jokey way of explaining why you have to fill in the same intake forms with every doctor, and that they don't communicate the results of their tests to each other, which could maybe come up with a holistic reason why someone is feeling bad.
Zero coordination of her care.
Yeah. And so while Tuca is going through like a series of doctors, Birdie is like snooping, like kind of accidentally snoops on Tuca's phone to see that Figgy wants to buy her literally the perfect gift for her hot dog orchestra collection that there's no way he even knows about. He just saw it and thought of her, which is so sweet. And then it descends into Birdie just texting as Tuca all day, culminating in her inviting Figgy to bring her a pizza and forcing Speckle to dress up as Tuca.
Yes. Yeah, she signs off all the texts to him like, this is definitely Tuca.
He just thinks it's like a fun, wacky thing that Tuca's doing.
She's basically using him as like a magic eight ball where she's like, should Birdie get really into hats this year? Like, how old is too old to be into boy bands?
Yeah, like, should Birdie have hot chips?
Yeah, right. Life is short. Tell her to get the spicy chips if she wants them.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's a weird situation. But I mean, I guess they wanted to have Birdie doing something while she's waiting in the waiting room for the majority of the episode. And so this is what they chose to do. Speckle does a convincing job as Tuca with a banana taped to his face. And then
this is so funny.
It's so funny. It's literally so funny. And when Birdie is FaceTiming him after, she's like, you're gonna like change, right? And he's like, honestly, it took me a really long time to get into character. I am going to the club now.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, I need you to dress up as Tuca and pretend to be her and wait out in her apartment. And he just goes, I have no questions. And then he's just like, got this banana. Like, he's so into it. And he's like, yes, oh my God, Figgy, definitely come in. Like, no, stop this.
Like, no, just tell him to leave the pizza downstairs. Come on up. Like, I just don't think that's what Tuca would say.
Yeah. Gonna hit the clubs. Very good.
So very, very good. But so Tuca's in the doctor. The first doctor she's with, they're like, how much pain are you in? And it's a scale of 1 to 10, but it's just faces. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, that one isn't a lot, but it's the hat says I am baby. And I don't feel like I'm a baby. It's like, maybe I'm this one in like the beret. The doctor's like, well,
that's part of it.
Yeah, she's like, you've pointed at a face with not that much pain, so there's nothing else I can do. And she's like, well, can you refer me to a gynecologist?
Yeah, like, yeah, I sure. Really, really enjoyed this whole exchange of just like, you pointed at a face with no pain, and she's like, well, don't point at the one that is full of pain if you don't relate to the hat. The hats are clearly part of it. I'm like, oh, it's just so good and so accurate.
Yeah, doctors really do be like, okay, what's your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? And then someone with chronic pain is like a 10, and they're like, well, you don't seem to be in pain. And it's like, well, I am in pain so much that I do not outwardly present that I am in pain all the time. They're like, well, a 10 is normally for like a car accident.
Right. It was a gunshot. Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, so if you already have a scale for what the pain is, tell me what's wrong with me and tell me where I should be. Tell me what it is.
Right. Exactly. Birdie also during this is playing with the little like bead game in the waiting room. And yes. I feel like this was a very absurd through line. She's like, thy destiny awaits or whatever.
She's like, you have only one path.
Yes, the treacherous path home, green beads.
Yeah, it is very weird. So probably the biggest laugh of the episode is when Tuca is finally with the gynecologist. And she's like, oh, yeah. And sometimes, like, I get shooting pains in my booty hole, which is a thing that happens to some people on their period. Just, it does not happen for me, but I've definitely seen, like, content online of people talking about, like, oh, when you, like, feel the stabbing pain in your butthole. And I was like, oh, my God, I have it easy compared to people. And she's like asking the gynecologist to look in her butt, and the gynecologist is like, no, like, I'm not gonna do that. And finally the doctor just goes, I'm gonna shoot off a pussy down.
Oh my God. Yeah, they're like, no, like, I'm not gonna deal with anything besides this.
Like, I only deal with the one
fertility
hole.
Or whatever. Yeah, so good.
Josh and I burst out into hysterical laughing when the doctor says she's the sheriff of Pussy Town.
It's very good. Yeah, Tuca also says, like, she wants between 12 and 18 children, but that's not why she's here.
Yeah, she's like, I need you to figure out what's wrong with me and fix it with no issues for me having the children I want when it's time. Is that, like, how many children, like, how many babies do toucans normally have, I guess?
Good question.
Average number offspring toucan. They typically lay 2 to 4 eggs at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And they only have to incubate the eggs for 15 to 18 days. So I feel like they could have like a ton of babies.
Yeah. Oh. And then they can breed once a year. There you go.
Yeah. So she could have a lot. She could have a lot of babies.
Yeah.
And then there's like, Tuca sees so many specialists, and she literally at one point is like, my body is a galaxy, not a planet. Like, isn't there one person who can look at my whole body and not just the parts? And then the bees do like a whole musical number, which is very fun.
Yes. It's very long.
It is it's a long musical number, but I liked it.
Yes, it was very
good. I didn't write down any of the lyrics, but it basically culminates with like, all of the bee doctors being like, and I'm the queen, I'm the queen, I'm the queen.
Yeah, I think I wrote a couple of them down. Let me see. Yes, some of the lines are like, it's hormones, it's anxiety, your pelvis is a mystery.
Oh, they bring up like, oh, you should lose 10 pounds like several times in the episode, which is like such a common thing that like, I don't think that that's just with women that doctors have a so, like, preoccupation with weight, but I do think it's probably like a little bit worse for women.
She says, try losing 10 pounds. She says, that's not my issue. And they say, that's what we say to every patient and it never hurts. And then Tuca says, I think it does hurt. And then she ends.
Yeah. And then they have a part where it's like, lose 5 pounds more, lose 6 pounds, lose more, lose 11 pounds. That's extra good. So
that's extra good. Yeah. Yeah. And then she says, all of you have terrible bedside manners, but you're all talented vocalists and terrible doctors. You should have followed your performing arts dreams.
And basically, Tuca then is like, no, I am the queen. And she takes control over this hive of bees. And Birdie's like, you got to go to a real hospital. And she's like,
good
take
one.
Me to a real hospital. And the bees take her. And she's getting a CAT scan. And the bees are like angrily hovering like next to her. And the doctor's like, please don't sting me.
The CAT scan is a very cool animation thing as well, but she literally just like goes inside a cat with an open mouth.
Yeah, it's a weird situation. I could see like a cat really trying to get that job because they're like, oh yeah, this is how I'll eat the birds.
Right.
And so now at this hospital, while waiting, Birdie runs into Kara, who of course is the nurse that Tuca was dating in season 2 that totally ghosted her. And then the last we've seen her was when Tuca basically tried to wave at her while she was on the boat during the flood, and Kara like didn't look at her and like looked kind of uncomfortable. And Kara doesn't remember Birdie's name, calls her Georgette. It's like, Georgette, oh, you look like a Georgette to me.
yes, very funny.
Which, like, okay, fair enough, I guess. And basically, Birdie's like, why did you do that to Tuca? Like, what the fuck? And Kara's like, well, she was too much. I had to think about myself, which is like such a shitty, like, all of us do need to look out for ourselves and our mental health, but that also isn't an excuse to be an asshole. She could have just broken up with Tuca if that was the concern. She's just, to me, using her mental health as an excuse to not take accountability for ghosting, like, a pretty serious relationship where they were moving in together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so. And just, yeah, to just be like, oh, I had to take care of myself. Like, get out of here. It's such a cop-out, and it's not, simply not true. And also, she was horrible to her. She made her feel so bad about herself. And
yeah, she sucked. She sucked so bad. And
made her wear long pants.
Oh, that was so wrong. She was so wrong for that. So wrong. And all the pins when she, like, after the fight. Well, disgusting.
Yeah, that was bad.
And Birdie tells her to get bent in her ass, her vagina, and her cloaca, whatever. It's what birds have. And then yes. Kara's like, I only have a cloaca. Like, I don't know why I would need so many holes. And she's like, whatever. I'm so fancy. I do my pee-pee poo-poo from one hole.
So good.
Which that made me laugh really hard, too.
Incredible.
And so the next thing we get of Tuca at the hospital, she's visiting her auntie, and she's like, I just want to know, like, what to do. Like, I just want this fixed. And her auntie says, I have the same affliction. I never got an explanation other than my mean uterus and show off the ovaries, which is like, I mean, they literally will be like, oh, sorry, you have a hostile womb.
Yes. Yes.
Nothing else to say.
I love the phrasing of it as a mean uterus and a show off the ovaries. So good. But yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hostile womb is like
that's a genuine diagnosis that people get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, your, well, but why?
Mean womb.
Like, why don't you tell me why? Tell me why the womb is so mean. I bet there's a reason.
Yeah.
But they don't really do a lot of research into these. Like, the research exists, but it's just never a priority because they prefer to do research into things that affect men more.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, did you know? I only found out recently. Did you know that the people that, like, that they test tampons using water, not blood?
I didn't, but that doesn't shock me.
So they'll be like, oh, it can hold this many milliliters. They mean water, which is obviously not the same thing.
Yeah, wow.
I think the first study on tampons using actual blood only happened this year, 2023.
Ridiculous. But yeah, it's not entirely, like, in keeping with how these things get researched. Ridiculous.
Yeah, so they don't look into it so much, because then they can just, like, blame anything that goes wrong, like, in fertility on the, like, person with a uterus and be like, oh, sorry, it's your fault. But also, we'll do no work to figure out
Just done something wrong. Too hostile in there.
So they leave the hospital, and Birdie encourages Tuca to tell Figgy what's going on with her and how she's in pain. And also, like, please don't look at your text history. And I thought this was really funny, too, because, like, I never look at my text history. Like, there's so much thing as too much Tuca, even for Tuca.
Yes. Very good. Yeah. And Tuca basically says, like, she's giving up trying to figure out what's wrong with her because all her tests were normal. And she's just like, whatever. Like, I'll feel better for a few days or weeks until it comes back. Like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Super sad.
What feeling more I'm baby hat than sombrero.
I get her. I feel baby hat a lot of the time too. So then Figgy comes over and gives her the little hot dog playing a saxophone, which is the last member of the little hot dog band she needed. She's so excited about it.
So cute.
I mean, it's a very Tuca gift.
Yes.
She loves hot dogs.
And I love that he just knew, like, oh, this seems like something she would like. And it was just the one missing piece of her collection. So good.
Yeah, super sweet. We're definitely, I can't see why we would have bad feelings about Figgy, really, at this point in time. Mm-hmm. Like, it seems really good. We do get a little bit of a red flag in this episode, but Tuca tells Figgy about basically she's on like the worst roller coaster ride ever, and she doesn't know if she'll ever get off, and she's in pain a lot of the time. And Figgy says, hey, I like every part of you, no matter if it hurts or not. He also brings up, like, I hope it didn't make you feel some kind of way when I mentioned that you're the first non-planned that I've dated. And she's like, no, I'm not concerned about that. I'm just in pain. And Figgy says, well, while we're talking about like our personal stuff, I just need you to know, like, I drink a lot. And Tuca's like, yeah, I know you drink. And he's like, no, I drink a lot. And she's like, I know what it means to like drink a lot. Like, it's, I understand. Like, mm-hmm. We know at this point in the show, Tuca is sober.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think she knows what it means to drink a lot, but he's like, no, it's more than you're thinking. She's like, oh, I'm mm-hmm. thinking a lot. And like, they just kind of brush past it there. Mm-hmm. So
they brush past it like so much that I didn't even catch it the first time that I watched it. So watching it back to take proper notes, I was like, he says that line of like, I drink a lot more than you'd think. I was like, oh shit. Like, yeah, they just kind of skim over it. Yeah. But I love that line from him where he's like, I love every part of you, no matter whether those parts are feeling good or bad. I think that's really lovely. Yeah.
He's very sweet. And he carries her to bed because she's in pain and says, hey, do you want me to like make you a tea and put on a show that you like? And she's like, that sounds so nice. And then he takes care of her and he says, I like caring for other people. Please don't worry about being too much for me, which obviously she doesn't know that that's what Kara said in this episode, mm-hmm. but we do. And so it's just really nice to hear her being with someone who just really likes her for who she is and doesn't think that she's too much or too like wild. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not trying to control her.
And like, yeah, and I like that he gets from her, or like knows her enough that maybe that would be something that she'd be worried about. Like, it's not just him seeing Tuca as like, oh, the party girl, whatever. He can also sense that maybe she'd be worried about being too much and putting him off. And so, yeah, and instead of just like being offended that she lied, he's like, I get that maybe this is what was driving you not saying why you didn't want to go this weekend, and you don't need to worry about that. And I also like the honesty from her where she's like, I feel too sick to go this weekend, let's go another time. And he's like, yeah, great. Like, good communication here.
Yeah, I mean, in general, most people aren't going to make you feel bad about feeling bad.
Yes.
That's a pretty big red flag, I would say.
Yes.
Like, I at one point in my, someone who used to be in my life was like, wow, you're sick all the time. And it's like, well, that doesn't make me feel better.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you for that observation. Take care.
Like, yeah, I'm sure it's really hard for you that mm-hmm. I don't feel good.
Right. Yeah. And then when he says that, like, it shows the animation of him like watering the pain garden or whatever. And there's all these like beautiful flowers that come up over Tuca. It's very nice.
It's really pretty animation. I really like this episode.
Yes. It's so good. Really, really well done.
Ugh. What a dream. That's it. That's the... Oh, what was the post-credit scene? I didn't even write it down.
I genuinely wrote something with Bruce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It was. I think Bruce bought something on his phone or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't really care for Bruce.
Yeah, he's an interesting character on the show. Not my favorite. But yeah, that's it. That is another episode of Tuca and Birdie in the books. Great job to both of us. And... is there anything else that you wanted to add about this episode?
That's it. This is a good one.
Amazing. And if people want to hear from you, they can find you at The Simpsons Then and Now, the podcast of tomorrow, over on Post Show Recaps, talking about what we do in the shadows.
Yeah, nailed it. And I will have had one appearance on The Crown also at some point.
Ooh, and an appearance on The Crown. Amazing. That's so fun.
You and have limitless things going on.
There are limits, actually. And then if you want to hear more from me, you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. And you can listen to me talking about F-Boy Island and Love Island Games on the Hot Dummies on Islands feed. They'll already be done by the time this comes out, but they're really fun seasons, and I would recommend them if you partake in the Hot Dummies on Islands genre. And every week I'm recording Mess Magnets with Sasha Joseph, where we talk about pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics, all that jazz. And Lindsay and I will be back next week to talk about season 3, episode 3, the one where Birdie gets eaten by a snake. See you then.
Bye.